Turn to John chapter 7 and verses 14 to 31. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. I'm going to pick up with verses 14. Now remember, in verses 2, it tells us that the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. And that would correspond to the fall season, and it would correspond to our month of September, thereabouts. Okay? So we pick up at verse 14. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Now, this feast lasted 7 days. So right in the middle of the 7 days, Jesus decides to go to the temple. Now, remember, he's from Judah, the tribe. The Levites were the only ones who could be inside the temple complex where they would do the service of God. Since Jesus, despite being God in the flesh, but since he was born of Judah, okay, he could not go inside the compartments, the two compartments. But he could be outside in an outer courtroom that could facilitate thousands of people. It's a huge court area, all right? So that's where he's at. He's teaching. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Now remember, just a few, about an hour or so ago, I gave you Mark chapter 3, verses 1 and following, when Jesus' own hometown got offended. "Is this not the carpenter? Where did you get all this wisdom?" And they were very offended. Notice here, in Jerusalem, they had the same hang-up. "You're just a carpenter. You come from low means. You haven't gone to the universities. Where have you gotten all this learning?" Notice the offense in Jerusalem. Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine or my teaching is not of mine, but his that sent me." So that tells us that everything that uttered from Jesus' lips was a direct message from his Father to his Son to give to the people. "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself speaketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory hath sent him. The same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law?" Ooh. Jesus just got done smacking them. "Why go ye about to kill me?" The people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee." They're basically accusing Jesus of witchcraft and black magic when it came to his miracles. Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day?" That was the issue right now with these Jews. "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill?" Remember in the last hour, Jesus says, "Who do men say that I am?" And remember what the answer was? Well, some say this and some say that. "Who do you say I am?" Well, Peter speaks up and says, "You're the Messiah. You are the anointed one of God." Notice here in verse 25, on the street and in the newspaper was little articles about those who were seeking to knock off Jesus. "But lo, he spoke it boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is." Ah, that low status, that carpenter. "But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Notice the confusion in verse 26 and verse 27. And beloved, I appeal to you that today, despite all the Bible translations and despite all the churches that are available and all the free means on the internet and social media, would you agree with me that even today, out in the street, there is so much confusion of who Jesus is? Notice, 30 AD, the masses were totally divided over this Jesus. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and you know whence I am, you know where I came from. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because, notice again, only John, his hour was not yet come. So at this point in the temple, if God the Father did not restrain the madness of the people, they would have taken Jesus and stoned him and killed him right then and there. And many of the people believed on him. Whoa, praise God, and said, oh, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Please be seated, and may God bless his word. One of the things I wanted you to see in just this reading is notice the confusion about Christ, who he is, why he's here. Then also notice that this confusion was motivating some of the people to come up with some really foolish ideas, like back there in verse 20 and 21. The people answered and said, he has a devil. He's demon-possessed. And this demon goes around attempting to kill him. And Jesus said unto them, I have done one work, and you marvel. Now notice in verse 22 to 24, Jesus performed a miracle on the Sabbath day. And as I shared with you before, the Jews tacked on so much tradition to the law of Moses. They went beyond the law of Moses, just like people today. For instance, I've been in a church. It's a sin for a man to have long hair. And when that was said, it was in a military church, and every guy that was in there didn't have long hair. How easy that was to fulfill. Everybody had short hair, off the ears. Women can't wear slacks. Well, hope to God you don't want her to work out there in the garden, you know, and have her backside fully exposed because her dress went up. Nonsense. Nonsense. So Jesus performs this miracle on a Sabbath day, and according to the Jews, the way they were taught by their leaders, that was a no-no. So notice how in verse 22, Jesus brings up a situation. Moses, therefore, gave you circumcision, okay? Not because of Moses, but because of the fathers, because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's where circumcision began with that line. And on the Sabbath day, you go so far as to circumcise a baby because that's the 8th day after birth. The child's 8th day after birth falls on the Sabbath day. But you guys say you can't work. Well, for that rabbi to go in there with his snippers and do what he has to do, that's work. Oh, we're going to make an exception for that. Jesus was here, beloved. Listen. Jesus was nailing them to the wall on their hypocrisy. He's telling them that the law of Moses should not be broken. You go out of your way to circumcise a child because the date of his circumcision, unfortunately or fortunately, fell on the Sabbath day. And technically, to have the Jewish rabbi perform that surgery, that's work. But you make a little loophole that's fine. Now, we've heard people tell us that we're not supposed to judge. Judge not, lest ye be judged. They only quote Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. They don't read verses 2, 3, and 4. Notice, judge not according to appearance. Don't make your judgment simply what you see with the eye. you might draw a false conclusion. But what does Jesus say? If you're going to judge, judge righteously. There's no problem in judging. Matter of fact, every morning when you and I go to work or you and I do whatever, you go to the closet and you judge what set of jeans you're going to wear. That's a judgment. Then you're going to judge what type of top you're going to wear. Well, that's a judgment. And then you mosey on into the kitchen and your sweetheart has the coffee made. Well, I'm going to make a judgment. Is it going to be poison sugar or sweet low? Am I going to have a donut or am I going to have Cheerios? You get my drift? Every decision that you make is, in essence, is a judgment call on your part and my part. Am I going to take the pickup to work or am I going to take the Corvette? Am I going to go shopping at Dillon's or am I going to go to Piggly Wiggly? Those are judgments. Beloved, Christians and non-Christians make judgments 24/7. You judge when you're going to go to bed. You set the alarm clock, you judge what time that thing is going to rattle and drive you bananas before you turn it off. You get the drift? And when it comes to spiritual matters, we are to judge. If somebody comes down the highway and says to me, Pastor Bob, I believe that Jesus was a good man. I can agree with that. But was he God in the flesh? Oh, no. Well then, biblically speaking, not according to me, but according to this, you cannot claim to be a Christian. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Oh, no, no, my good friend. The book has already judged you. I'm just the bearer of bad news. Some people would think I was harsh right now. I'm being truthful. You may have a very high exalted opinion of Jesus. You might go so far as to say he was the greatest teacher on this side of the planet. And some people do go that far. Even atheists will acknowledge some of the words of Jesus, some of his moral teaching is way up there, above Confucius, above Buddha, above Muhammad. But not God. Well, you can claim everything you want to. I use this illustration. I can sit in my car garage on a plastic or a metal folding chair and tell the world that I'm a Ford. And I can sit in my driveway or in my garage until the moon turns to cheese and tell people I am a car. And that will still be false. I'm a person, not a car. Just because I sit in my garage doesn't make me an automobile. And just because someone tells me that they're a Christian, all right, well, tell me, what do you think of Jesus? And when they start going off into limbo, whoa, whoa, let's back up. Who is Jesus to you? Well, he's this and that. Not exactly. How about we go back to the book? And so here Jesus is nailing them for their hypocrisy. Go back to verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine, my teaching. Again, that verse 15, the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never gone to school? He didn't go to the school of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He was not in the same league with Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, who were two Pharisees who were converted to the faith, while the rest died in their sins. He didn't go to Yale. He didn't go to Harvard. He didn't go to Oxford. He's just a humble handyman. And Jesus says what? My doctrine's not mine, but the one who sent me. Look at verse 17. If any man will do his will. And beloved, I heard some people really take the task, the enemies of the gospel. When someone's really dug in their heels and they're blaspheming Christ and they're rejecting the Bible and they're saying all bad things about Jesus, I throw this back to them as Jesus did to his audience. Did you catch it? If any man will do his will, you don't believe the Bible? No. You don't believe Jesus was God in the flesh? No. Fine. Let me put you to the test. How about you do God's will? Do the things God tells us to do. And then you shall be convinced that his doctrine was of God and not of some demon. I'll put you to the test. You deny everything that is precious and sacred to me. Fine. That came out of your lips. Fine. Here's my challenge to you, Mr. Atheist, Mr. Agnostic. Do what this book says. And if you do have a teachable spirit, you will bow your knee to King Jesus. That's what Jesus told them. Do the will of my Father, and you will know whether I am lying or telling you the truth. And then down there in verses 25, then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? So notice the common people, the everyday Joe, knew the buzz on the streets. They just want to get their hands on him. They want to stone him. They want to get rid of him. But lo, he speaketh boldly. Notice how Jesus was not afraid of them, because he knew himself they were out to get him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Do our leaders know this is Messiah? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is. Notice the rub, poor boy, with the little toolkit. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Notice the confusion. Notice the confusion about Christ. Then Jesus cries in the temple. And then verse 30, they sought the more to take him. And again, when you read the Gospel of John, as I close, always underline or highlight, you're going to find this phrase constantly beaten almost to death in John's Gospel. Because his hour was not yet come. And when Judas is finally leading the soldiers up in Mount Olives to apprehend Jesus, Jesus goes to his sleeping disciples and says, the hour is here for the Son of Man to be betrayed. The hour has come. Prior to that, every attempt to murder Jesus, and there's several, and we've seen some of them just in our casual reading here. Then finally, God the Father simply takes his hands off, and he allows the world to put their grimy hands on his sinless Son. Amen.